We're going to be answering your unemployment application questions and unemployment benefit questions, and also questions if you're an employer during this time. I know that definitely want to figure out how exactly to do everything legally in terms of figuring out who gets laid off, who gets furloughed, what your responsibilities are in terms of making sure that your employees are safe. But before we do that, I want to check in on the markets with our markets expert, Paul Nolte. He's the Senior Vice President and Senior Portfolio Manager at Kingsview Wealth Management. Hi, Paul. You hanging in there?
Well, we're hanging in there. It's been obviously a rocky week and a rocky month, but we're starting to see just a glimmer that the markets are finally starting to settle down as a result of a lot of the things that the Fed has done, money that's been injected, and all the rest of it. So we're still not out of the woods, but yesterday and today's activity, very much more muted than it was last week and early this week.
So today we opened in the green, then it started turning into negative territory, then it got mixed, and now it's looking like we're back down all across the board.
Well, give it 5 minutes.
right. So what do you do on a day like today? What are you looking for?
We're looking for things just to settle down a little bit. This actually feels good.
Oh.
Because we've been used to a 3 to 5% daily move. We opened up limit down 7% down 4 times in the last 2 weeks. We haven't done that yesterday. Today, yesterday was kind of an unchanged day. Today, even though we were 500 points higher and now we're maybe 100, 200 points lower, that again feels better than what we've been seeing so far. The other part of the market that doesn't get a lot of attention that has had some dislocation, part of the reason why we're seeing the Fed involved, is the fixed income market. So a lot of people have been selling out of the fixed income market and just raising cash, period. And you're seeing investors who are maybe looking at their fixed income mutual funds or ETFs and are going, holy cow, these things are down a bunch. This shouldn't be the case. But I think some of that is because everybody's hitting the sell button at the same time. Again, same thing there. You want to kind of just sit back, wait a little while. Things will come back to normal, and we can then start trading on a regular day. But we're starting to see signs of that yesterday and today.
It seems that so many economists are putting out their forecasts in terms of this is going to be worse than this time period, this recession, and then jobless claims they're estimating might spike to 3 million next week. How much does that news and those sort of forecasts affect decision making in terms of investors?
It does affect them, and certainly the news is going to get worse, much worse than what we have today before it gets better. And I think everybody has accepted that and understands that. What we don't know is the magnitude of the numbers, but as I'm talking to clients and as we talk to other advisors and we talk to other people in the business, it's...
Hey, Paul, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but real quick, we've got to toss it over to Steve Bertrand.
Gee, Paul, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the Chicago Tribune is reporting that Governor Pritzker is going to issue a lockdown order for the entire state, telling residents to, quote-unquote, shelter in place, and this will begin tomorrow. The Tribune is citing sources. Of course, the governor has a briefing today set for 3 o'clock this afternoon, so we will see what he has to say then. We, of course, will carry that live. We expect that Mayor Lightfoot will be with the governor as well. Now, the way this has worked in California and in New York is that you can still go out, obviously, if you need to go to the grocery store, to drugstore or places like that. So the idea that you are absolutely confined to the inside of your house is a little inaccurate. You can go out for a walk, get some exercise. You just can't be around other people. But again, we'll see what the governor's plan is for us when he has his news conference coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Again, the governor, according to the Tribune, will announce a statewide shelter-in-place program to begin Saturday. I don't see here where, if there is an end date yet, that the governor will propose. Likely not, but it will begin tomorrow morning, and we'll have more coming up throughout the day, and certainly the governor at 3 o'clock.
Thank you, Stephen. This was something that people were expecting, Somewhat.
You know, it's funny, G. It's happened now in two states. Governor Cuomo did it in New York earlier. Gavin Newsom did it in California last night. And it's been one of those rumors. I mean, it's a rumor in a way that's come true, because if I started hearing it last week. He's going to do it today. He's going to do it today, you know, and he never did. And so, but it looks today as if he will issue that order a little bit later in the afternoon.
Well, thank you so much to Steve Bertrand, always staying on top of all of the breaking news. Paul, back to you. I think I cut you off mid-sentence there. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. No, absolutely. But when we take a look at it from a longer-term perspective, if you believe, as we do, that the earnings will eventually come back to the S&P 500 and will surpass the earnings that we've had early this year, last year, then the market is valuing fairly inexpensively, and our expectations is for a return of mid to upper single digits, if not double digits, over the next 3 to 5 years from today's levels. But that, again, supposes that, and we think it's a fair assumption, that over the next 3 to 5 years, the S&P 500 will earn more at that time than we're earning today. So once we're past this period, and we will get past this period, the markets will come back to a more normal valuation level, which means higher stock prices. But you're right. In the interim, day by day, it is frustrating. It's tough looking at 401ks and account statements. But what we're preparing clients for is moving more money into the equity market, away from fixed income, away from cash, and to do it gradually over the next 3 to 6 months, looking out that 3 to 5 year window.
Paul, just really quick, wanted your take on in terms of what the government is doing. I've been hearing a lot from different economists that this isn't going to be enough money. Of course, this is going to require several rollouts of income and getting money into Americans' pockets.
It's going to take time. And again, as we've talked about before, it's really getting on top of the medical issue first and making sure that the virus growth slows down. Right now, just as we announced the Illinois in shutting down in place, that gets everybody excited, concerned, and worried. And until we start to roll back some of that, no matter what money gets put out, it's not going to help yet. Until we're all free to move about the country, move about the world, then I think you will start to see much more impact from those dollars coming out.
Are they taking too long? Shouldn't we get this money out quickly? That's what I'm hearing from all the economists.
Well, I mean, like I said, if I put that money into your pocket today, are you going to be able to spend it?
Right.
You know, you're really not going to be able to do too much with it. They're postponing a lot of programs. Some rents are you're not going to be able to be tossed out of your apartment in New York. They're not going to allow you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's other things that are like that, are basically allowing things to stay as they are. We'll deal with this later. And again, it's a substance. I get that part, that, you know, we still need food and we still need to be able to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So from that perspective, yes, the money needs to get into pockets. But as far as the economy and getting the economy growing the way it has been, that's a discussion for when we get past the virus.
Well, thank you so much, Paul Nolte. I hope you can try to get a little bit of rest this weekend, and appreciate you being with us, portfolio manager, senior portfolio manager and senior vice president at Kingsview Wealth Management. Paul, we'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. All talk right. then.
Attorney Storrs Downey, he's a partner at Bryce Downey and Linkoff, joins us. So many questions about unemployment benefits, how to apply, also what employers owe their employees. Hi, Storrs, how are you?
Good day.
Okay, so let's get started. What are some of the rights and, you know, remedies that employees have in the face of coronavirus?
Well, the first thing I'll say is those rights and remedies are ever-changing. Literally by the day, we're seeing new legislation or proposed legislation both at the state and federal level. So just like your audience, those that are not attorneys, attorneys as well, mm-hmm. are keeping glued to the news, to the internet, to find out what is changing, because it's we've never had this territory before. It's new for all of us, something this extensive and serious. So Watch the news. Watch the news. I also suggest, for both employers and employees, look to your company handbook, your company policies as they exist now, on the issues of layoffs, on the issues of benefits. Consult with your, if the company has an HR manager, or if they're smaller and they only have a general manager, or the owner itself, check with them. They're going to be the front line to answer some of these questions. But if we look at some of the recent legislation, literally that's come down in the last few days, there are some pertinent items. The first would be under a couple of new federal laws that have come about. Most people have probably heard of the Family Medical Leave Act, which provides that employees of companies with 50 or more employers are entitled up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave of absence, and I underscore unpaid.
Right.
We now have the Emergency FMLA Act, which has been passed by Congress. It's sort of a good news, bad news type thing. The emergency FMLA, unlike the regular FMLA, only applies to families of children who, because of all the school closures, have to be home. Mom and dad have to be home, or one of them has to be home with their children because of a school closure. Or another example, you have a nanny, but the nanny has come down with a virus or otherwise is unable to take care of your children. So you as an employee have to be home. So what the Emergency FMLA Act provides, which has just taken effect, is the first up to the first 10 days of that leave of absence by an employee to take care of their kids will be unpaid. So that's similar to the regular FMLA. But after those first 10 days, then you would be have an entitlement. You would have the opportunity to receive through the government up to 10.5 weeks of paid leave of absence. Now, there are caps on how much you can receive. It's $200 a day, $10,000 in total, but certainly it's better than a total unpaid leave. And certainly take advantage of your any PTO, any sick leave policies that you still are eligible for. Again, really important to check with your employer to see what existing benefits you have.
And that's the emergency FMLA, and it's only if you have a child that you have to stay home to take care of because there's no other caretaker.
Correct. It's a special carve-out. Frankly, it was designed as schools started closing all over the state and all over the country. It's a rather unique passage of an act that we really haven't seen one quite like this before. Then the second federal law that's gone into effect for employees is known as the paid sick leave policy, which provides at present that an employee who is off work sick can receive up to 2 weeks of pay, up to a maximum of 80 hours over those 2 weeks. So if you only worked 30 hours a week, that would be the maximum that you might be able to receive. But that is something that's going to be federally funded, and hopefully these monies are going to be going out close to immediately. But we know there are a lot of snafus along the way with putting things in action. But hopefully those will get out to employees quickly.
So for someone that would fall under either of these two categories, where do they go to apply?
That is still being worked out.
Okay.
But first, go to your employer. They may be able to give you some guidance. Although this is federally driven, they may be able to give you some guidance there. But there also are online sources. The federal government has, I wouldn't suggest calling the hotline.
Right.
When we talk about unemployment in a moment, you'll never get through,
no.
Unfortunately.
That's what I've been hearing from everybody, even on the state level as well.
Yeah, hearing from a congressman earlier today on one of the shows on WGN, he was acknowledging that it's very difficult. So the online version of these programs are delineated, and there are, as I understand, forms that you can use to submit for this emergency relief. There is also, at the federal level, this will be for employers, a tax break that will be provided related to monies that are paid out during sick leave of employees where the employers can get reimbursed up to a certain level. At the state level, there haven't been any significant changes at this point. Some states are, California in particular, are looking at adopting some state financial relief programs for employees that haven't existed before. We don't have anything yet in Illinois that really matches up with what the feds have done. But it's hoped that despite the log jams that we're experiencing on unemployment claims in Illinois, record levels that we've never seen, the hope is that there is going to be a speeded up payment process. I have not personally talked to anyone yet who has been collecting under that program, but I've heard, at least in principle, it's going to be a more streamlined process. You won't be required to go through the type of paperwork or obviously be in line for submissions here. So hopefully we see that accelerating fairly quickly.
Storrs, I'm so sorry that we're running out of time here, but in terms of who's eligible to apply for Illinois unemployment benefits, who is?
You have to have worked, well, anyone who's worked, let's first take the instance, you're working for a company, and you're laid off by that company. You have to have worked for that employer for 30 days or more in order to file for unemployment benefits associated with that employer. However, if you have worked in the previous 12 to 18 months for another company, and there are threshold minimum amounts, if you only worked 5 hours a week for that employer, you're likely not going to be eligible for unemployment. But if you meet certain thresholds, you can go back to your previous employer and file your unemployment claim through them. So as long as you've had some gainful employment over a year plus, even if you've just started with your current employer, you still have an opportunity to get unemployment.
I did just have a friend today finally get through. Didn't work out online. Online has been too difficult to apply for Illinois unemployment benefits, but finally did get through on the phone, and it took around about an hour today. So just to give you an idea of how long it might take, during the afternoon they were able to make the call. So
I literally suggest that you, when you call in, put it on speaker, go about your, we're all home now, I'm in my bunker at home, put it on speaker, keep an ear to the phone, and hopefully they'll pick up in 40 minutes, an hour, hour and a half. That's the best I can suggest in that regard.
And Storrs, just really quick, I'm totally out of time. We'll definitely have you back on next week. What in terms of employers, how do they make that decision if they have to, if they're forced to slim down? What sort of thoughts or issues can they take into account when they're slimming down their workforce?
Well, you can certainly consider what are the most essential jobs that you have, what are the most critical jobs you have where you need to keep people in place to handle those jobs. These are tough decisions all companies, employers are going to go through. As long as you're following legal requirements, following the law, you can certainly lay off someone at this point, regardless of seniority, regardless of salary, regardless of years with the company. You just can't discriminate against someone because of their age, because they have a disability, underlying disability, because of their gender. Those laws still apply, but these are going to be tough, not as much legal issues as they really
absolutely
are going to be cost-benefit issues and moral issues.
Yes.
And what do we do?
Okay, Storrs, your information, and then I got to wrap up with you. We'll have you back on next week.
Certainly. How to reach me, you're saying?
Yep.
Yeah, you can contact, right now I would suggest the best way to reach out is on my email, sdowney, D-O-W-N-E-Y, at bdlfirm.com.
And we'll be sure to put that on our website as well. Thank you so much to Attorney Storrs Downey.